Shabbat Shalom. The parsha today is Lech Lecha, Genesis 12, 1 to 17, 27. Basically, Lech Lecha means get out or leave. So it begins when Abraham is called. The Lord tells Abraham, get out, you know, of the land that you're in right now, and I'm going to take you to a place that you've never been before, and then I'm going to show you. So it's like someone says, hey, come on, we're going. Where are we going? You'll find out when we get there. That's exactly what it was, you know. He didn't have no clues to where he was going. He just obeyed God. So God says, okay, we're going. So Abraham and his wife, Sarah, and actually his name was Abram at the time, not Abraham. It was Abram. So he takes off, and they head towards Egypt. Now, when they're about to go into Egypt, you know, Abram says, you know, you're a really good-looking woman to his wife, you know, and she was. And he was afraid that once he got into Egypt that somebody was going to kill him so he can get Sarah. And to avoid that, he says, well, let's tell him that you're my sister. You know, that way everything's going to be good. They're not going to do anything to me, and everything's going to be okay. So that's what they tell him. Sure enough, they got in there, and they said, yeah, she's a really beautiful woman. I'm her brother. This is my sister, Sarai, or Sarah. And so they tell the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh says, well, I'm going to bring her into my palace. So that's what he does. Well, lo and behold, all these bad things started happening to Pharaoh. All these plagues and all this stuff. Now, Pharaoh wasn't stupid, you know, and he must have known something about the God of Abraham, because all this stuff started happening, and Pharaoh calls Abraham into his presence, and he says, what in the world are you doing, pal? And he says, look at all this stuff. Take your wife, take your stuff, and get out of here. And just to make sure you go, I'm going to escort you out. So he had a bunch of soldiers escort him out of Egypt. He didn't want anything to do with what God was doing to him, because he knew exactly why all this stuff was happening. So that was his experience in Egypt. Okay, so along with Abram was Lot, his nephew. And they're both pretty well off. You know, they were prosperous. They had a lot of stuff. Their cattle and their donkeys and all their herds were growing and growing, and their employees, their shepherds and so forth. They were bickering among each other, and whose border was whose, and it come to the point to where Abram says to Lot, you know, this town ain't big enough for both of us. So basically, he gave him the choice. Abram could have, he was the head, he was the boss. He could have said, I'm taking this place, you go to that place. But that's not what he did. He told Lot, he says, tell you what, you pick where you want to go, and I'll go to the other way. You want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. You want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. So Abram looks around to the Jordan Valley, where all this greenery and all this water and all this stuff was, towards where Sodom and Gomorrah was. So that's where Lot went, and Abraham went the other way. Well, after a little while, a war broke out between several kings in the area against Sodom and Gomorrah and some other kings. So it's basically a group of guys over here, you know, a group of kings over on one side and a group of kings on the other side, and they had this big war. Well, Lot's side lost. So Lot gets taken captive, and Abram finds out about it. So Abraham gets his guys and some of his allies, and they go to the rescue, and they take back the possessions, take back Lot, and they basically win that battle. Well, right after they won, one of the king of Sodom wanted to give Abram. Some riches, and he would not take it. He says, nope, I'm not taking a dime from you, you know, so you can't boast and say I helped to make Abraham rich, you know, so he didn't take anything. Well, along comes Melchizedek. Anybody not heard of Melchizedek before? Melchizedek, the king of Salem, king of peace, king of Jerusalem, you know. And a lot of speculation has come about. Who was this guy, Melchizedek? Who was he? Some people think that he was a theophany or basically an apparition of Jesus. Other people say, no, he was a real person. You know, he was Shem. And all this account is, we also read in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7 deals directly with Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 11 deals with the other stuff going on. And some people have speculated that, yeah, Melchizedek wasn't a real person. Well, you know, he was probably Shem, you know, son of Noah. And there's some things to substantiate that indeed he was not just an apparition of Jesus, but he was a real person. One question I'll ask you, if you want to believe that he wasn't a real person, what did he do with all the stuff? Remember, Abraham tithed or gave 10% of all this stuff. Cattle, jewelry, clothes, weapons, all this stuff. So he had to be a real person or the stuff would have just kind of just stayed there. So it got taken somewhere. Another question I might pose, if you thought that he was not a real person, if he was just Jesus, is remember a little later on when the three strangers come, and one of those definitely was the Lord. Well, he would have recognized him, more than likely. Oh, yeah, you're that Melchizedek guy who I gave 10% of the spoils of war to. That didn't happen. So I believe, and a lot of people do believe, that Melchizedek was a real person and probably Shem. So a little bit later, the Lord promises Abram offspring because they were childless. And he told him, look up to the heavens, look at the stars. That's how many kids you're going to end up having. But he didn't have any heirs. So he and Sarah figured out, well, you know, we're kind of getting up there and we don't have any kids. And I'll give you my handmaiden, Hagar. So he has a child by Hagar, and that child's name was Ishmael. And now Ishmael, when he was born, Hagar kind of held it over that she had a child and Sarah didn't. And so she left and she cried about it. And an angel came in and prophesied over her and over Ishmael, saying that he would be, you know, a great leader, but he wouldn't get along with anybody, basically. And that's still true today. Those people don't get along with anyone. You know, they're fighting among each other. You got Sunnis and you got the Shiites and all the other Ishmaelites or the Muslims that fight among each other. Nobody gets along with anybody. So that prophecy is still going on today. But during this time, God brings in the covenant of circumcision to determine who are his people. And Ishmael was one of them. Okay, so all of Abram's household, including Ishmael, all his servants, all his family, anybody that had anything to do with the household of Abram, the men, were circumcised. And oddly enough, it actually states that Ishmael was 13 years old at that time. So could be, maybe not be, that that's where we get bar mitzvah at 13 years old. But, you know, that's just speculation. But anyway, okay, so Isaac was promised as the covenant child. And it was going to be through Isaac, you know, that all of the promises were going to be fulfilled. But anybody that did not keep the covenant that was established, they were cut off. Now we have a covenant, a new covenant, in Yeshua. And it's basically the same thing. If you are not in the covenant under the blood of Yeshua, you're cut off, plain and simple. Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. So he's the only way. And if you have not found that way, we're told that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved and hence under the new covenant. Shabbat Shalom.